Okay. You welcome to the Portfolio Committee of Arts and Culture. We know that whenever people come for interviews, they are so tense. They are trying to, what are these people going to ask? And will I be able to respond to their questions? As the Portfolio Committee, we are saying, chill. Like the young people of today say, just be calm. This is not as a, like a guillotine or an interrogation. We just want you to understand more about you and your interest in the work that is in front of us, the work that we have to do, which we feel as a as the Portfolio Committee is very important. The work that has to do with language, and we believe that language is culture, and culture is who we are. So it's important for us as the Portfolio Committee to ensure that the people that are appointed into the board are the people who understand what this is about and what has to be done and how it has to be. We, as members of the Portfolio Committee, I'm going to introduce myself, we are going to introduce ourselves to you, and we will then hand over to you for you to introduce yourself. We're going to give you 5 minutes to introduce yourself, tell us who you are and your interest in languages and your expertise in languages, and just for you to market yourself to the Portfolio Committee. And that will be 5 minutes, but in total we're going to give you 45 minutes where we will be asking questions. The reason why I'm telling you is that your responses have to be pointed. And because we have only 5 minutes, then we can use less of it. We are not forced to use for 5 minutes. And as the Portfolio Committee, we are, you know, we will assess it as it goes, but it's going to be for 5 minutes. I am going to perform the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Thomas Magon, member of the Portfolio Committee.
Winston Labu Tafi, member of the committee.
Ellen Rodborn, member of the committee.
Number 10, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. I'm now going to hand over to you, but before we do that, let me tell what the honorable member, has reminded me to do. That we are in a strange place here, where you hear a bell ringing and you see us all running out. Don't be scared and think that there's fire, you know. We are going to, sometimes the bell will ring and we have to go to the house to vote. So if that happens while you are here, don't be shocked. Chill and just wait for us to come here. Well, we now are giving you an opportunity to introduce yourself and to market yourself a little bit.
Ya le bocha. carry on a good life. You know, through your privilege, we give you second offense to pay for the harm. Kimo le baba me first come to. I don't know whether I'm a teacher, from a teacher, people say, taught long ago, that's a college education, English as a son, and when I left teaching in the deputy principal, I was head of, was appointed head of the Zona Academy in the Northwest under education, and when the government was overturned to the Zona then, the institution called Swana Academy died and then were dissolved at that time. Then I volunteered to work for PENSA with a voluntary in the PLC, Provincial Language Committee, from 1999. We're the first committee anyway as volunteers. And in 2004, when PENSA took off, I was then appointed. Interviewed and appointed as Provincial Minister of PENSA from that time till 2012 when I retired. And during that spell, I was, it was a long distance, an author, writing books in Sudan in particular, and essays and whatnot, and grammar books as well. I've also published quite a lot of books. In Pilgrim Trilingual Terminology in terms of enhancing multilingualism, I have a recent terminology that I've published last year, and I think it's been used widely by those that can. That's my interest, language. But otherwise, for all the people that I was as a regional manager, I think I covered and influenced almost all the 23 municipalities around there regarding formulation of language policy, because by then we didn't have any directive or legislative framework that would tell people what to do. But otherwise, all of them are had approach as an employee to implement them towards formulation of their language policies. And so there is only one municipality when I left that had established one in Mauritania. But nevertheless, I think I've had a lot of workshops. Even beyond my retirement of 12, which is a big 12 when I left the pencil, I feel on my own that the target, contractor, or whatever they have to be called, I give back to teach students as well. But of importance then, I'm still attached to the Department of Urban Culture, with whom we had a great bond, in that I helped a great deal in terms of their operations and in terms of event that they translate, and almost every location, they request me to make a presentation. But of great importance also is the impact that I've made in producing the little ones that have to follow our legacy. I think I'm happy to impart here. I think I've got people who volunteer and an office in the Northwest. Allow people to come to the office and get this expertise or help. I think I've got Bloom who is here, and another master who is here. So one of them here, he greeted me, people who went through my office. And then one great lady is now in the legislature of Northwest. I think we passed them by Fuji. I'm glad to see the people for whom I have actually given all my skills, and they're still there. I'm still with them, and I'm coaching them. But I'm on my own, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I've influenced a lot of, not only that, I've also translated the acts and helped those that wanted to amend an act within the Northwest, particularly those that get through the legislature, particularly for language. I think I'm happy to say we also have lots of provinces who have passed on their language when I've been instrumental to some of them. I hope my partner is not as much, otherwise you can tell me that you really can see. Okay, thanks. There's a lot more than I think do. I think I've also, trying to pleasantly helping those young ones who aspire to be authors, and I do help. And then actually when you have, I voluntarily do so in the past, but we hope great talent that has been developed at no price. Thank you.
Thank you very much. use money in the 5 minutes to market yourself. Well, I'm now going to give over to the honorable members to ask questions, and you respond to the question. If they ask one of the honorable member ask a question, you respond to the honorable member.
Yes, thank you, Chair. But the matter who does come once? Look, I'm happy that the pencil is not a stranger to you. You have been with pencil for quite some time. And you know that Sharon is there. At 10,000. We don't have a boss. There isn't one reason we don't have a boss was an issue. You remember that 10,000 section is chapter 1 institution. It accounts to finance. But at some instances, it will have to report to the Department of Agriculture because the department is the one that gives money to PENFAL. There's that problem as we speak. How are you going to deal with that if you happen to be appointed and you are a board member with other colleagues? Here's the department that you might report to, and the portfolio committee, and taking into consideration that you are chapter one institution.
I don't know whether any such moves would be constitutional or unconstitutional, because it's a constitutional entity. There are provisions in the very same sense of that. Then it shall so do its operations without fear, favor, or whatever. And it also said somewhere special that no member of parliament or organ of state may interfere over the jurisdiction of the independence and integrity of the organization. So I think if you come from that point of view that you still have to minister, then you must really get some defense of that. And then I'm going to strip it off or amend it, because you can't do this just through that. You get told by those that back inside that's unconstitutional. How do you do that constitutional body that you have such that? Unless you also have to undo the constitution. So I think should you take that direction, I'm not against it, then you should be an amendable of things. Be that it may, I do acknowledge with you that there are forms of cancer, and perhaps somebody has to be blamed to say, how do you live so long an entity without a head? It's not only one session. I remember when I left, there was no intellectual, there was no board. And there was a caretaker coach or something like that. Then that one last fall, and then was another coach was also put there. He also left. Then another lead coach from inside also had to act. We can't. That is such a big political call. The biggest of them all the chapter 9 institutions, because it's chapter 1 institution. I think I've been wrong. Somebody is not taking this back. Because this should not have been around for so long. At the expense of the sovereigns of our languages, that have been so successful for so long, and is still quite to perpetuate. And as they say, and be proud of their actions, that Tanzania has been so famous for wrong reasons. And we are our members, responsible people there. So be that it may, I say what shall have to be done. I'm saying the first place that probably there must be a registration of the Tanzania Act. And to see those things, that needs to be changed. Because they also have the power in terms of the very act that Pentagon, they can influence amendments or repeal of certain laws that are inconsistent with the Constitution or that violate the other norms, I mean, the guidelines that response. And not only the Pentagon Act. I'll say, having been at Pentagon for years, that's actually, I was actually charged for misconduct. Because I'm saying, the big problem with Pentagon since then, is the mandate of principle. There are various interpretations of principle by very many people. And I sense there there's still confusion even by our body members. That when another body is being appointed, you have to have what to action them. Get people who have the expertise, not because they've got specialization in the formation of vaccines to Tamil and Zulu. People who understand what is meant by things like status language planning. Not only people to figure out people who don't know it's all about. It's important. As I don't want to embarrass ourselves to see what it meant that pencil mandate. At the end of the time you say, they are not achieving, what is the mandate? Now I'm saying all mandates for any institution come from the Constitution. And what does the Constitution say? What does it spell the Constitution, the meaning of pencil is? And that's simple, short and brief, quote and not in Africa. It simply says, shall promote and create conditions for development and usage of all the sovereign countries. It's not mean clear cut. And once PENCAP has to take it further and internalize it and break it down a bit, they will go and say, and their delegates, their provide recognition, implementation, and then presence of multilingualism and development of languages form. Whether that's in line with that, or that the breakdown of that which I said, is another area of concern. That's why I say people must get together and sit down, not only together with an extension and the constitution says, and the perception. They must liaise with all other entities that have a similar vision and purpose. Now we are in that stage that we can't have many people doing that and that in isolation. Yet, your chapter 2 and a Bill of Rights already introduced to you a Commission on Human Rights. That is also safeguarding the issues of language. So there's another entity that has to do with language. Then you go to chapter 3 also. If it speaks of cooperative governance. And there are institutions such as CLR and the Bill of Rights, Commission for Provision of Linguistic and Universal Rights, they have also to do with language. Who is there is cooperative governance and the NDP National Development Plan. Why do they come together and tell results accordingly? Because we can't have everybody taking everybody to court for violation of language. Because Rwanda, we could come together and see what are you doing, CLR, as a commission, can you channel this way? Because there is no collaboration, there is no cooperation. Everyone wants to come, you know, and this best way to see is doing better things that we are in the stage and have to join hands together.
Thank you, Chair. This is a follow-up. In view of your understanding of the PANSALT Act as a Chapter 1 institution, where do you see the board reporting to? Should it report to the Department of Arts and Culture? Should it report to Parliament? This is said of us within the view that amendments to the Act have not been done or are not currently in the offering.
Thank you for that question. There are no rights and good ones, but I think the important thing I'd like to make to that is a very personal question that really touches on the constitutional matters that really needs a good advice to do. But I'm going to say to you that I'm a South African, we need to re-look, there's a revisitation into this. Because PENCAP has labored for over 17 years outside any legislative framework that we gather. That's why they actually did not know what they are doing. But I'm saying, now that the Department of Arts and Culture has come to touch it, and has shown political will, by passing a law on language called Act No. 2 of 2012, Use of Languages Act, which is specifically what it has to do in terms of not only monitoring, of coming up with programs and what for language dispensation, how to use it and to manage it. It is there. All that I'm going to say is, I think since the promulgation of this law in 2012, whilst we didn't have voice for the past two sessions, I'm saying there's a political will and there is a way and enabling legislation for the first time after 17 years. And regrettably, that from 2012 to now, it's almost 6 years. And in terms of any law that is passed by Parliament, or even passed by Parliament, within 18 months, that must be put in practice. And nothing's happening. And yet we have a tool that takes us for the first time since the advent of our democracy. So, a matter of whom puts to who is about authority, I think we're missing their vote. The deliverance is there in terms of the new law. Now, Pentham must take its own action there as incorporating this law into it, because it was not there before. And they must actually show us how they are going to make this, because this framework which was not there is now there. They must always be saying the department, the national government and departments must take positive measures to what, because the framework is now there. The law is there. They must tell us how they incorporate it into it, so that they can better report for the mandate that is going to take place. It's not a matter of really reporting to them, because the authority is here, the parliament is here, while parliament is even if they were to report both of them, it's all right. They are reporting on different agendas, because the department reports to parliament over what? Monitoring the implementation of the language dispensation and methods and what and procedures. Perhaps something to it differently. They promote, they say they promote the recognition, implementation, multilinguality, they advocate in that. State government is not doing that. It's administering the law that is there on language and how to do it. Okay. Yes.
Another question. Thank
you very much. Ikawelele na umeme, ijawakasha alacho ni machi, aka unukato ikibana, wewe na kini na uchi ni ikibana, hakiwa tu ikibana, kwa hivyo ubehani. As I'm listening to you, you have got extensive knowledge of Pentham because you said you served there as a provincial manager, if not mistaken, from 2000 to 2012. Speaking of a collection, especially the year that you started with, and then you also said prior to that you volunteered also. You have made mention of the mandate of Pentham, promotion, recognition, and so on. And also in your remarks, I think when you were answering the Honourable Makondo's question, you said the big problem is the mandate. You have identified that the big problem is the mandate. Can you take us on board on exactly what do you think is the big problem with the mandate? And perhaps how then do we move forward in rectifying the problem that you have identified as the person who has been in the board with the institution for almost 10 years? Can you perhaps assist us as we will be moving forward as Parliament so that we are able to rectify those issues that you think are a bit of a big problem in the mandate? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think just to cite one or two examples of hardship reality about the mandate. Then I remember when there was a court case in Northwest, which we have the complainant, the manager, to go through the court. The remark that the High Court made in Mafeking was that, one, Pentham must not litigate on behalf of complainants. in terms of the Pentatech itself. And the second thing was that Pentas, by then, should not rely on the Constitution. Therefore, the ruling was very difficult for him to say there is nothing as a judge to say to pass that further form, because there's no framework. There's one thing today. Now that we have this new act of law passed by this parliament, we cannot only have those things. Because the judge or any court will be able to rule on the basis of the legislation yesterday. So that touches on the mandate as well. To say, do they know the mandate? Exactly. You know what you do? Exactly. You understand it exactly. You don't know how to go on with us. I mean, to work with others, to other entities, so that there's no duplication and war and then fighting for terms. Because also another thing that came to fact was that there seems to be terms, fighting for terms, department of arts and culture and as well. What is the prime minister? But in the absence of anything that was concrete, that seems to have been the case. But now I'm saying, really, there are many doctors that seems to be registered. I don't think we are all okay. If we are, we may be having diverse interpretation of the same thing. But if we could get there and really get said what we understand, and with advice, even also from other entities with their chapter names, to see how we understand your mandate vis-a-vis ours. Because the Constitution encourages that they should work together as entities that have a common vision. So now, as regards the mandate, let these interested entities, these chapter entities, let them come together and sit and help each other. Because it's also a major offensive to actually advise others on the matters of repeal of law or amendments on any matters of language throughout the board, including the department, even parliament. We think that centers, they don't apply that. They never have done, but maybe they're not sure. But that's their jurisdiction to do that and actually advise government as a whole.
My question to you is the experience that you have given us now. Our question in terms of issues of corporate governance. How would you ensure that there's always ethical leadership, that's number one, and integrity in the board of Senegal? And maybe touching on the issue of code of good governance. Code of good governance.
Thank you, John. You see, all the members, like all other boards, are not full-time in the job. They employ what they CEO intervene with the vessel. Do we, as any board, appoint a person whose competence is relevant to the mandate? In any organization, it's not only about the theme or the method of language, it's administration. A person that you put there as a CEO, what skills does he have over this? How do you just simply choose him among the rest? And my only worry, which is always a worry, is if the board cannot find a CEO, why can't they find him when it's not doing the work? I'm not saying, well, who has to? Because when the person does not comply, can't do that. You have to check until you finish the term of 5 years and only say, now what can you do about it? What methods can there? Something, a lot of things have to be looked into, first are peer repeals or amendments, so that we can ensure that when people cannot do it, they can be traced before it's too long to rectify, to tell the readers about issues. So that would be good governance, and that's that was constantly. We have got PFMA, why can't they always, the CEO come and give advice, I mean, a report to the board about funds and so on, but what matters mostly is the misdirection of funds, which are used for other things other than. And whether the board really approves of such an expenditure
That is not for the mandate. Good governance would also mean, do we have staff? Staff complement approved by Treasury. Or we have little money appropriated from Parliament that goes to staff salaries and court cases for wrong reasons. That's also good governance from other areas other than cancer itself. Other bodies around the board are fulfilling committee salaries. What are your powers to do anything about the board of mode? You can document. But we cannot, as a local government, leave things to that, as it is too late. And condemn, because we condemn our own selves, because we are there. All the vanguards of good governance, Galileo.
Good afternoon. Are of paramount importance. Hoping that if you can be hired or appointed as one of the board members, it can assist a big deal, including the gaps that are there in our constitution and also in the policies of Tensal. The challenge is running Lerintshwa, Rutiso ya Ravidera Khali. I don't know if this is true to NYF, but it's one of the African languages that we have in South Africa. My question is, in South Africa we have 11 official languages, and Shalem is one of the official languages that I was talking about. However, they are not afforded the same status. How would you ensure that there is no language that is hegemony over others? And thank you.
Oh, as enemies still persist. That's how you have languages that are previously highly privileged are still overriding our languages. Because you keep on changing terms, equitable use. The question is equal use of all languages. Equal use, not equitable or something like that. Simply English, equal use of all the other languages, official. Now you come with phrasing language, equitable. That's how we have such results, such as those that you have said. My answer is, there must be advocacy programs. Perhaps administered by the same parents, to conscientize people about their language of linguistic rights, that there is law that empowers them to have, to participate in this democracy in the language of their law. Our people must be knowledgeable about this. I think problems are there, but the main thing I think should be done is education. It pains my heart when I go to schools around North West, even Gauteng, when ordinary parents were only cocoon, who are literate, so to say, believe as parents they can decide by wink of an eye that the language mother tongue to my child will be English effect from today. It can happen. Mother tongue will be English with effect from today. There's some sickness in our mind. And unless we change the mindset of the people on the ground, we will be trying like we do. Because it is the people who are knowledgeable that make critical decisions about the future and the fate of the language. And this naive parent, I'm not one of those, I'm a cook around. Ordinary people who are learned are talented, and therefore, by virtue of their background, give one of the school governing bodies, and they decide on that. Because of authority, the experience they've had, they don't want their children to be like that.
That's why they must do everything in English. And learn English means you become better and wise. So it's a perception might that we cannot blame anybody, but to blame ourselves. Like yourself, with due respect, when I heard the Nagomariti school, where you can be privately, Barnaway Chakumi Kukumi, where they are forced to take this English, and you come and complain here. Barnaba then better schools, and you have our number in Muskol and Tantuana, the Musi Chonga, the Musi Chaga, Barnaba for international schools. That is key to say the society must change and we must improve. I'm saying lastly on that aspect, I'm on that question, that research by PANSEB itself and other institutions and other learning from another country, we must come and convince our people from a scientific point of view. Mother tongue works. It works here and there. They're trying to do it because you need work, you really want to work to even import Mandarin here. Because if it comes, it will work. But Shanghai has a problem with the Swanish. That's our problem. Thank you.
And I think when we visit other countries like Germany, you find that they have an interpreter, they speak in their own language. And you, there's someone who's interpreting for you. And I agree, when I sit there and I'm like, I wish I could speak Xhosa again and have an interpreter for me. Because, truth speaking, it says a lot about people recognizing the importance of their mother tongue. It says a lot, and as you said earlier, you know. And even in the modern schools, what happens there is that they will have Xhosa with math. And what is the student going to choose? They're going to
what values are you going to bring to the pencil board, and how will these values assist the board?
Can you repeat the question, please?
Okay. What values are you going to bring to the pencil board, and how will these values assist the board?
I think the values, I mean there are different types of values or types, because in any organization they've got their so-called values of submission, vision, values, which speak of integrity and whatnot, transparency and the like. So they are there. Just a question that there is no lack of such, except that people, in English, to say people are waiting for words. You talk too much without saying the actual thing. Now, values are there, but are people true to their nature? Do they understand what they mean, or just workshop, let's say, blah, blah, blah. Integrity must be tested, and trust is not bestowed, it's earned. And people must be trustworthy. So those are values of greed and so forth. Self-centeredness, those are non-insurance thoughts and we don't want those. But they'll come up with the values. I can't come up with the value because he said these are institutional values identified by them as the board. But the sense that they are there, we change the values, it means now they've changed. They want to release little things, they want to accommodate other little values. I think the values are there, it just has to be monitored and make sure that the values that are inherent in the organization must be enhanced and be lessened. But unless we bring our values to see what are the values, other than the values that comes with it in their so-called vision, then now I want the value in terms of there must be integrity, there must be honesty, and those are the very seven that are corruptors and corruptees. Most of them are very poor and to be rich by corruption. I remain with my conscience and my soul. Now, these are the things that are valuable that people should not be selling their soul for anything. People have become cheap and cheap. People do things, corruption is there. Well, I think we are number one of them in the world, probably. This must change. And I think critical measures need to be taken when things don't go right at the right time. And then we must not leave things too late. Corruption is corruption. We have seen it started. Or when the media is again, media itu kan orang tu aduh lah, media kena kamu kamu seru apa apa ada lah hui kon kepo, apa kena media. But when the journey you have and what to say to stop, you can't swim in your own house. You perhaps you let us nip it, as the Englishman says, in the bud. The earlier detection of anything that's irregular, the earlier people must intervene to cut it. Those are the abilities any. Very good, I'll bring to the other thing. Thomas, I think it's.
Thank you. Another fourth one.
The only question that I just needed to, seeing that you were talking about values and ethics, how would you mitigate a conflict between the board and the executive of FAMSA? Because there will be differences of opinion may occur from time to time, and they may cause a problem. How would you mitigate when such things occur?
We are expecting such things to happen, and while, as I said, the board members are people who are not full time, they come once to get reports and so forth. We hope that the best thing to do is to really invest the leader. When we employ a CEO who will be the leader, and will definitely have his executive in terms of functions, not executive in terms of power, because he's an accounting officer as a CEO, and we don't hold any other member, staff member accountable, because they're all accountable to him. He's been appointed a CEO to a CEO of staff members. But there will be none done within the, you know, subsequent cases of insubordination and so forth. He knows, he's been trained, he knows what to do. There are language acts, labor acts, particularly things really such things pop up as a matter of discourse in the labor act and unfair dismissal, and unfair treatment of staff members and the like. I think from time to time, finally they also have their own union. I think if those things are strengthened, because the board is a bit distant, they speak directly with their CEO and nobody gives them attention. And it should be unprofessional to say, some members have come to hear what are your problems, because you have somebody who is going to do fast. Now, when you are going to get to know, because sometimes you get it too late, that things are happening that are swept under the carpet, they will erupt and people will begin to strike and will be forced to come in at the board. Now, I'm saying from time to time, I do not know, we must really have the feel without compromising integrity of the board. We must definitely stay and support the CEO and see. He must stand his own give us and must tell us, we must look at the minutes of the meetings, engagement with staff. We can pick it from there anything before it's too late. I think, in a way, I do such measures.
Do you want to follow up? Yes, okay. Another one. Sir, yes, that's what I mean. We have worked at FAMSA. You are listening. You must go. You have worked at FAMSA, and Then do you have any comments?
No.
Tell me, if we appoint you to what is Spencer, I mean to be in the camp of the board, is there anything that will cause us to doubt that there could be a conflict of interest? Now you are coming in at the board. Have you any in the space in between having done work for Spencer on your private capacity which may constitute some conflict? Is that?
No, sir. I've had dealings never with the provision and what was the had to link with donors. Now I may not commit me to buy a cold drink. They've got their own business. I never supplied me with anything. The only thing that I say, you know, maybe I'm unfortunate. You ask me whether I've been charged or something before. No, not by any court of law. But you remember, to share with you, you know when a renowned man from the Northwest, because I work behind a lot of people, a man who really moved Pencil and the Department of Government and many other departments, moved them. A certain blind man in the Northwest called Mr. Advocate Lawrence. He doesn't want you to call him advocate. I don't mean Mr. Lawrence. He's a blind man. Who challenged the whole country, Junior and Culture and Pencil, for violation of the linguistic rights in this country? He took it wholeheartedly on his shoulders. And on the day judgment was passed in the High Court of Pretoria here, I said to Pencil, are you aware that Alfred Lawrence from Brest will be in the High Court where judgment will pass in his favor? Nobody knew about it. From Pencil. Because they treated me, as I said to you, they were trying to charge me for accusing me for working with someone who is an enemy or offender. When people lodge complaints and they charge them 3 or 3 as many to say, there's something pent up, HED, there is some here, the case here, how do you go about it? Now because they are somehow racist, they thought this man is an enemy of pent up. What you are saying to them, in terms of law, such as this, I'm litigating for Pencil. This is the law for Pencil. And in terms of the law, Pencil becomes friend of the court, again. And therefore, because I'm winning this case, let Pencil come on board so that we can take the jury together. I've won the case. And this is only limited to a certain number of days. I want to Pencil to say so. When they get there, they said, no, I want to meet an enemy. Some such nonsense. So I want to say to you, I didn't mince my words. I paid heavily for a lawyer to really rescue me, and they told me what I really do. So they gave me a paper, and I go, when you do things people don't like, and they say, maybe I make an impact. I don't have any personal gains. I'm not ambitious any longer. At my age, I'm not ambitious. I'm 33 years plus. I don't want anything that I don't have. I'm fine. Thank you.
You are really fine. And we want to thank you for availing yourself. And we are going to celebrate our interview with you already in the nominated. And then we will make recommendations for the minister. The minister is the one who's going to make the appointment, and they will communicate to those people who have made this agreement. Or we appreciate the fact that you're working so hard on this very difficult topic of languages. And it's only now that people are beginning to realize that language is very important. And it's a very difficult aspect, but it needs social life. We thank you and appreciate the fact that you made time. In fact, we thank you for accepting the nomination, because you could have said, no, I don't want to be nominated. But you also appreciate the fact that you stand for me. Thank you very much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.